Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. Please be seated. Now I have this theory that I've been playing with all week long, and I want to test it out here this morning. I've been warned that I shouldn't be calling it a theory because the dictionary kind of proves it, but we're going to go with it. And I think it plays a major role in the story from Samuel this morning, which is why I want to bring it here to you. I have, however, been assured by my friend, a fellow priest and the father of a three-year-old, that the difference between listening and hearing is not as vast as I'd like to believe, and perhaps I should leave it alone. So I lay before you this morning this. I do believe there is a difference between listening and hearing, and I believe that difference is vitally important in our lives of faith. Now, to go back to my friend, Gray, he's the father of Isabella, who is three, and he says that he can ask Isabella to do something. She can repeat it back to him verbatim. He knows that she has heard him. And then she will go off and do whatever it is that she was intending to do in the first place, which has nothing to do with what Gray may have just asked her to do. So he will walk away, count to 10, take a moment, if you will. But when he goes back to find her again, lo and behold, she has in fact done exactly what it is that he asked her to do. So clearly, while it looked like she had just heard, she was listening. So really, if you look at the case study of a three-year-old, apparently there is absolutely no difference between the two. While Gray offered this tidbit to disprove my theory, I think he actually made my point for me. This is because in this theory, as I keep calling it, the difference between listening and hearing involves one small factor that makes all the difference in the world. Hearing is involuntary, while listening is a choice. You can't choose whether or not you hear the bird's song over your head in the tree, but you can choose to stop, to look up in its branches, and enjoy what is happening around you. When Isabella demonstrates that she did in fact hear Daddy's request, it's an involuntary response. She is parroting. When he returns exasperated only to discover that the Legos have been put away and the living room is ready for guests, she has made the choice to listen. But three-year-old time, like God's time, is a complete mystery. When I took this experiment a little bit further by consulting dictionary.com, since I am such a scientist and so official, I learned that by their very definitions, I need to stop claiming this is a theory and just say it's what happens when you look in the dictionary. To hear is a verb, meaning to perceive by ear, while to listen, also a verb, means to give attention with the ear. It's a subtle difference. But my final argument, which is rock solid, is the first example sentence under the word listen. Children don't always listen to their parents. Point, set, match. I have won the argument. Sorry, Gray. It looks like the dictionary definitions for kids and listening should have a picture of your daughter next to it. I argue this point because it's vital to the story that we heard from Samuel this morning, and it's vital in our lives with God. Hearing and listening are slightly different, but interrelated. They are woven together. They are related because listening is a demonstration that one has heard, and listening implies that one will act upon what one has perceived by the ear. Samuel teaches us that difference very well this morning. The Lord calls to Samuel once, and he runs off to Eli. God calls again, and again he goes to Eli. But that third time, after tiptoeing again to Eli and saying, "What do you want?" Eli tells him because he perceives, it's in the text, he perceives that something is amiss, that maybe the voice that the young one is hearing is from God. And so he encourages Samuel to go and listen. Now, Samuel has heard this voice three times, but he's heard Eli's voice 100 times. He knows the difference between them. So when he hears this calling of his name, he isn't really listening. There might be fear involved. There might be disbelief. There might be sleepy dust. But whatever it is, Samuel is not yet listening until Eli directs him to do so. Once Samuel stays to hear what the Lord has to say, his whole demeanor changes. Rather than answering God as he's been answering Eli by saying, "Here I am," Samuel does what he's instructed and says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So what happens next? We know what happens next to Samuel. He's a prophet and a leader, a giant of our faith. He speaks God's truth into the world, and he is who he was made to be. But what happens next for us? What happens when we hear God calling, but we are too scared? What happens when we hear God calling, but mistake God's voice for the voice of another? What happens when God calls and we cannot hear because the noise of our own lives is too loud to hear God's voice among us? What happens next is we take the advice of Eli. We go back to where we've come from, settle in, and listen. We listen with our whole selves. It's a willingness to embody what we hear that we must demonstrate. We listen with a desire to work with the one who is calling. In total submission, we lay ourselves out and say, "Speak, Lord." God's call comes in a variety of different forms, so we must be willing to listen with all of our senses if we're going to hear God's voice in our lives. In our communal life, we are called to listen to each other and to discern where God is calling the parish of the Epiphany. The work of our strategic planning team was exactly that, and over the last 18 months, those faithful men and women took it upon themselves to seek out and prayerfully consider the opinions of a wide variety of folks in order to hear the voice of God in the midst of us. Everyone who is sending feedback now to be included in that is listening for the voice of God in the midst of us so we might follow God's path. Our vestry meets monthly and starts each meeting with a Bible study to focus their hearts before taking on the business of the church. Our annual meeting in 2 weeks, Sunday, February 1st, in case you didn't hear the announcement, is a time when we sit down as a parish family to remember from where we've come and to dream of where God might be calling us to go, to look for that path in front of us, and to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in community. We need to make similar opportunities for ourselves in our own lives. Whether it's sitting down around the dinner table, sitting in a staff meeting at work, walking our dogs in the fells, or sitting here in the pews on Sunday morning, God is still speaking and desires for us to listen to all that we're being called to do. God is constantly present among us, and though we may not be constantly receiving a direct call, we can hear the Spirit's song if we listen. God is ready to be in a relationship with us, but as with all relationships, we must be present in order to be fully involved in that. A relationship cannot work if only one party speaks and listens. When Samuel was born, his mother named him Samuel because of the meaning of that name. God has heard. The irony that Samuel's own name reflects back his future call is a beautiful thing. Samuel's mother wanted to honor God's history of listening to the people in naming her son, and now her son, only a young child, was being called to listen to God to further the work of God in the world. What a beautiful circle that creates. What is it that you're being called to do? It's not always in our names, like it is for Samuel. So whether it's been your destiny since birth or the product of a lifetime of dedication and hard work, God does have a calling for each of us, both individually and collectively in the various units that we exist in. It will come in God's own time, so we must always be ready to answer in the darkness, to open ourselves to hearing, and to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amen.